Welcome to Zikhu Dafsi Money Man by Ram Goldar, and today we're Zakhaz Baba Basra, Daf Nun Hey, the third parak, Cheska Zabatim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, three laws are quoted in Shmuel's name, the third of which is Ani Zaharu de Zabin Arla Taska. These wealthy heirs who purchase land by paying its property tax, Zavinu Zavine, their purchase is a valid purchase. If the owner does not pay his property tax, the government allows anyone to pay it and thereby own the land. This acquisition is binding through Din de Malchus Adina. However, it only applies to taska, the property tax, but not for paying the owner's karga, head tax, because karga or karpa de gavri manach, the head tax is placed on the people's heads, and there's no shibud on his property for it. Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua disagreed. Afilu sa'ari de kadem shtabdi la karga, even barley in a jug is beholden to collection for the head tax, and certainly land is as well. Therefore, he holds acquiring someone's land by paying their head tax is legitimate. The halacha does not follow this opinion. Point number two, Rav Asi said in Rav Yochanan's name, Hametzav al-chatzav mapsik menichse ager, a boundary in the chatzav plant whose roots grow straight down, divide properties regarding acquiring the estate of a ger who died, as taught in Daf Nun Gimel, that a kinyan on one does not acquire the other, but not regarding peya and tuma. Ravin quoted Rav Yochanan saying that this division also applies to peya and tuma. A division for peya means that peya needs to be separated in each field. A division regarding tuma refers to a mishnah about one who entered an area of fields during the rainy season when it's Rosh Hashanah because people avoid trampling the produce, but said, "Ve'eni yodeya im nechnasi osam makom v'im lav." I don't know if I entered that place or not, meaning the specific field containing a grave. Rabbi Eliezer rules him tahor, but the Chamim rule him tameh, like the standard halacha of safek tumah in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Eliezer explained his position, safek biha tahor, in a case of doubt about entering the place of tumah, he's ruled tahor. Safek maga tumah tameh, in a case of doubt about contact with tumah, he's ruled tameh. A division between fields is relevant for Rabbi Eliezer's ruling. And point number three, Ravin agrees that a boundary and a chatzah plant do not divide domains regarding Shabbos liability, but Rava says it does. The relevant case is explained with the Braisa. Hotzi chatzi grogeres rishus of Rabim v'heinicho. If one carried out something the size of a half a dried fig into rishus of Rabim and put it down there, and then carried out another chatzi grogeres, behelam echot chayev, if this happened during one lapse of awareness, he's obligated to bring a chatzah because the two acts combine to a significant amount of caring. B'shnei olamos pater, if this happened in two lapses, meaning he realized it was Shabbos, he's exempt. Rav Yossi says that even if both were done behelam echad, b'rishus achas chayv, if both halves were carried into one domain, he's chayv, b'shtei rishuyos pater. If they were brought into two different domains, the two acts cannot be combined, and he's pater. There are three opinions for what divides the rishus of rabim into two domains. Number one, a rishus yachid. Number two, even a karmelis. And number three, even a board of wood. This last opinion, Rava holds, a boundary and a chatzah plant also divide rishus rabim. So once again, the three points are number one. Three laws are quoted in Shmuel's name. The third of which is Hani Zaharuri de Zabin Arla Taska. These wealthy heirs who purchase land by paying its property tax, Zavinu Zavine, their purchase is a valid purchase. If the owner does not pay his property tax, the government allows anyone to pay it and thereby own the land. This acquisition is binding through Din de Malchus Adina. However, it only applies to taska, the property tax, but not for paying the owner's karga, head tax, because karga or karpa de gavri manach, the head tax is placed on the people's heads, and there's no shibud on his property for it. Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua disagreed. Afilu sa'ari de kadem shtabdi la karga, even barley in a jug is beholden to collection for the head tax, and certainly land is as well. Therefore, he holds acquiring someone's land by paying their head tax is legitimate. The halacha does not follow this opinion. Point number two, Rav Asi said in Rav Yochanan's name, Hametzav al-chatzav mapsik menichse ager, a boundary in the chatzav plant whose roots grow straight down, divide properties regarding acquiring the estate of a ger who died, as taught in Daf Nun Gimel, that a kinyan on one does not acquire the other, but not regarding peya and tuma. Ravin quoted Rav Yochanan saying that this division also applies to peya and tuma. A division for peya means that peya needs to be separated in each field. A division regarding tuma refers to a mishnah about one who entered an area of fields during the rainy season when it's Rosh Hashanah because people avoid trampling the produce, but said, "Ve'eni yodeya im nechnasi osam makom v'im lav." I don't know if I entered that place or not, meaning the specific field containing a grave. Rabbi Eliezer rules him tahor, but the Chamim rule him tameh, like the standard halacha of safek tumah in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Eliezer explained his position, safek biha tahor, in a case of doubt about entering the place of tumah, he's ruled tahor. Safek maga tumah tameh, in a case of doubt about contact with tumah, he's ruled tameh. A division between fields is relevant for Rabbi Eliezer's ruling. And point number three, Ravina agrees that a boundary and a chatzah plant do not divide domains regarding Shabbos liability, but Rava says it does. The relevant case is explained with the Braisa. Hotzi chatzi grogeres rishus of Rabim v'heinicho. If one carried out something the size of a half a dried fig into rishus of Rabim and put it down there, and then carried out another chatzi grogeres, behelam echot chayev, if this happened during one lapse of awareness, he's obligated to bring a chatzis because the two acts combine to a significant amount of caring. B'shnei olam was pater. If this happened in two lapses, meaning he realized it was Shabbos, he's exempt. Rav Yossi says that even if both were done behelam echad, b'rishus achas chayv, if both halves were carried into one domain, he's chayv, b'shtei rishuyah is pater. If they were brought into two different domains, the two acts cannot be combined, and he's pater. There are three opinions for what divides the rishus of rabim into two domains. Number one, a rishus yachid. Number two, even a karmelis. And number three, even a board of wood. This last opinion, Rava holds, a boundary and a chatzah plant also divide rishus of rabims. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Nun Hey, and this Siman was suggested to us by two Zichru members going way back to Maseches Brachos. We began a Choose a Siman contest, to choose a Siman that we'd be using as we go through Shas together. So the two winners for Daf Nun Hey were Naftali Golombek from Brooklyn, as well as Mordechai Kornbluth from Boston, and they both suggested that Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55, because the national speed limit in the United States is 55 miles per hour. So the Siman is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign in a field he acquired by paying the previous owner's taxes wasn't sure if he stepped over into the field with a grave because he was distracted by the man with the number 55 on his hat carrying out halves of a dried fig into rishus harabim one at a time. Once again, in slow motion. The wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign, that must be Ron Duff, Nun Hey, 55. The wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign in a field he acquired by paying the previous owner's taxes, which reminds us, three laws are quoted in Shmuel's name, the third of which is, Hani Zaharui de Zabin Arlataska. These wealthy heirs who purchase land by paying its property tax, Zavinu Zavine, their purchase is a valid purchase. If the owner does not pay his property tax, the government allows anyone to pay it and thereby own the land. This acquisition is binding through Dina de Malchus Adina. So the wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign in a field he acquired by paying the previous owner's taxes wasn't sure if he stepped over into the field with a grave, which reminds us, Rav Asi said in Rabbi Yochanan's name, Hametzer v'chatzav mafsik benichse ager, a boundary in the chatzav plant whose roots grow straight down, divide properties regarding acquiring the estate of a ger who died at Sodom Daf Nun Gimel, that a kinyan on one does not acquire the other, but not regarding pay and tumah. A division regarding tumah refers to a mishmah, one who entered an area of fields during the rainy season when it's rishus yachid because people avoid trampling the produce, but said, I don't know if I entered that place or not, meaning this specific field containing a grave. Rabbi Eliezer rules him tahor, but the chamim rule him tameh, like the standard halacha of safak tumah in rishus yachid. So the wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign in a field he acquired by paying the previous owner's taxes wasn't sure if he stepped over into the field with a grave, because he was distracted by the man with the number 55 on his hat, carrying out halves of a dried fig into rishus harabim, one at a time, which reminds us, Ravin agrees that a boundary and chatzah plant do not divide domains regarding Shabbos liability, but Rava says it does. The relevant case is explained with the Braisa. Hotzi chatzi grogeres rishus harabim hainicho. If one carried out something the size of a half a dried fig into a public domain and put it down there, and then carried another chatzi grogeres, behelam echad chayv, if this happened during one lapse of awareness, he's chayv to bring a chatzis because the two acts combine to a significant amount of caring. B'shnei halamos pater, if this happened in two lapses, meaning he realized it was Shabbos, he is exempt. Rabbi Yossi says that even if both were done behelam echad, b'rishus achas chayv, if both halves were carried into one domain, he's chayv. B'shnei rishuyos pater, if they're brought into two different domains, the two acts cannot be combined, and he's pater. So once again, the wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign in the field he acquired by paying the previous owner's taxes wasn't sure if he stepped into a field with a grave because he was distracted by the man with the number 55 on his hat carrying out halves of a dried fig into rishus harabim one at a time. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf nun alf. So the simmer daf nun alf is a beaver because beavers gnaw. Nun alf, gnaw. So here goes. The man who sold the field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam. Beaver? That must be more on Duff. Nun olive. Nah. The man who sold the field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if a man who sells property to his wife can claim he was trying to uncover money of his which she had hidden from him and did not intend to sell her the property. So the man who sold the field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam knew that she wouldn't acquire it with the Star of Sale written on beaverhide parchment, which reminds us, a Star of Sale does not acquire property until money is given. Although a braisa teaches, if a star states, Sadi Mechurilach, my field is hereby sold to you, or Sadi Nesunilach, my field is hereby given to you, Harizim Mechur of Nesuna, it is sold or given, apparently proving that the Star of Sale does transfer property. Rav Hamnun explained it refers to Mocher Sadeu Mipnei Rasa, one selling his field because of its poor quality, who wants to finalize the sale immediately. So the man who sold the field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam knew that she wouldn't acquire it with the Star of Sale written on beaverhide parchment and grabbed his beaverhide sack to gather peros from another field he sold her because it was a sale, not a gift. Which reminds us, Rav Huna Bar Avin sent the following message: Hamocha Sada Leishto, if one sells his field to his wife, Kansa Ubala Ochel Peros, she acquires it and the husband receives its products like any property she acquires from elsewhere. However, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Avo, and all the Gedolei Hador said he does not receive its produce, but Matana Bikishlit Noha, he actually wanted to give it to her as a gift from which a husband does not receive produce since it's given generously. And the reason he wrote the Shtar as if it was a sale was Kedele Yapos is Kocha, to enhance her rights, entitling her to compensation if the land is collected by the husband's lender. Daf Nun Beis. So the Simran Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, newbie to Yiddishkeit? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit who mistakenly accepted a pikadon from a child, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that one may not accept the pikadon from married women, from slaves, or from children because we suspect they may have stolen the money from their husband, the master, or home, respectively, and accepting the pikadon assists their thievery. If one did accept a pikadon from a woman or a slave, it should be returned to them since they may own it. If one accepted a pikadon from a child, yasul segula, he should set up a trust for him, meaning he shouldn't return it since the child cannot responsibly safeguard it. The Gemara defines a trust as a sefer Torah to learn from, or a palm tree which will yield fruit from while the principle remains. So the newbie Yiddishkeit who mistakenly accepted a pikadon from a child, whose brothers were fighting with their oldest brother managing their father's estate, who presented shtaros bearing his name, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a brother who is managing the father's estate on behalf of all the brothers. But Yo'onos Ushtaros Yotzin al Shmo, and documents of sales and loans appear in the brother's name, and he claims they are from money he inherited independently from his maternal grandfather. Rav says, Alav Lahavi Riot. It's incumbent upon him, the managing brother, to prove the shtaros refer to his personal assets because his name may have been written simply because he managed the estate. Shmuel says, Alachin Lahavi Riot. It's incumbent upon the brothers to prove the shtaros are from the father's estate. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit who mistakenly accepted pikadon from a child, whose brothers were fighting with their oldest brother managing their father's estate, who presented shtaros bearing his name, was on his way to Opan to learn how to say, Lech Chazek Ukni, to a buyer of property, if a kenya is not made in his presence. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Membeis Amidalev stated that the laws of a three-year chazaka only apply to dispute over ownership, but where one is acquiring a property such as a gift, brothers dividing an estate, or the hefker estate of a ger who died, he acquires it by locking, fencing, or breaching its enclosure. Rava clarifies, Befanav, if the acquisition was made in his presence, the seller does not need to tell the buyer, Lech Chazek Ukni, go make a chazaka, and thereby acquire, because his silence indicates his consent to the kinyan. Shalom, Befanav, if the kinyan was not made in his presence, he must tell him beforehand, Lech Chazek Ukni, go make a chazaka, and acquire it. Daf Nun Gimel, so the Simur Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince who sent a servant to acquire a chatzar by placing a stone in the wall, locking in the irrigation, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Nasan Tzvor V'Hoyel, if one placed a stone and benefited the property with it, Natal Tzvor V'Hoyel, or removed a stone and benefited the property, Harizo Chazaka, this is considered a Chazaka to acquire it. The Gemara clarifies that in the first case, he placed a stone, the Tzamad Lamaya, where he sealed water inside the field to water it and prevent it from draining, and in the second case, removed a stone and increased the water flowing into the field. So the Nigerian prince who sent a servant to acquire a chatzar by placing a stone in the wall, locking in the irrigation, and sent another to acquire two fields with a raised boundary in between by making one kinyan on them all, which reminds us, regarding two hefker fields with one boundary, meaning a raised strip of land between them, Rabbi Zera asks, what is the halacha if one intended to acquire both fields and the boundary with one act of chazaka? Do we say the boundary of each land is one, and he acquires all of them where he intends to do so? Or do we say the boundary stands alone, and the field stands alone, meaning that since the boundary is of a higher elevation, it is a separate land, and they cannot be acquired together? The question is left unresolved. So the Nigerian prince who sent his servant to acquire chatzar by placing a stone in the wall, locking in the irrigation, and sent another to acquire two fields with a raised boundary in between by making one kinyan on them all, was shocked to find the palace he built on the next day a ger who died went to the guy who came along and installed a door. Which reminds us, the Gemara considers various acts regarding acquiring property from Hefker. Rabbi Bar Avoha said, Habona paltrin gadoin benichsei ager. If one builds a large mansion on the property of a ger who died, and another comes and installs a door on it, gana, the second person acquires a property. The one who built the mansion does not acquire it because he merely arranged bricks on the property, since people can enter just as easily as before. By installing doors, the second person exercises control over the property. Daf Nun Dalet. So the Simmer Daf Nun Dalet is noodles, and we often use a pasta chef. So here goes. The pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches. Pasta chef, noodles? That must be on Daf Nun Dalet. The pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree. And Bikona it, which reminds us, Shmuel taught four cases of a chazak which depend on whether one's intent was for the property's benefit. The first case is regarding one who removed branches from a palm tree. Adaita dedikla kanei, if his intent was for the palm tree's benefit by pruning it, he acquires it. Adaita dechavasa lokane, if his intent was for animal food, he doesn't acquire it. His intent can be determined by seeing if he took branches from all sides of the tree, pruning it properly, or from one side, and just for obtaining animal food. So the pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree, and bikona it, and dug a little in the hefker field marked by a noodle boundary, acquiring the whole field, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses sada ha-musiyemus b'mitzareha. Regarding a hefker field marked by its boundaries, Rav said as soon as he digs once in the field, he acquires the entire field. Shmuel said he only acquires the place of his digging. So the pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree, and bikona it, and dug a little in the hefker field marked by a noodle boundary, acquiring the whole field, grabbed the land his Italian competitor was selling to a yid because it's as ownerless as a desert, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Nixei ovu kochavim harayin kamidbar. Properties of an idolater, when being sold to a Jew, are like a desert. Anyone who makes a chazaka in them acquires them for himself. He explained that regarding an idolater, as soon as the purchase money reaches his hand, he's removed from his ownership since money affects transactions for idolaters. Still, the Jew who gave the money doesn't acquire the property until the shtar reaches his hand, as is the halakha in a city where shtar is usually written. Therefore, the land is left ownerless, like a desert, and available for anyone. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we discuss the Suffolk tomb of Shusi Yachid, where it's unknown if one entered a field with a grave? That's on Duff. Nun Hey. Good. Number two, which stuff do you learn if one's intent was for a palm tree's benefit by pruning it, he acquires the tree? That's on Duff. Nun Dalet. Good. Number three, which stuff do you learn a husband can establish a chazak in his wife's property which he damages? That's on Duff. None. Good. Number four, which stuff do you discuss carrying out a chatzi grogeris and then another on Shabbos? That's on Duff. Nun Hey. Good. Number five, which stuff do you want a person can say, Yevshi b'takhanas chachamim, I don't want this rabbinic enactment made for my benefit? That's on Duff. Memtas. Good. Number six, which stuff do you discuss how much of a hefker field is acquired through plowing part of it? That's on Duff. Nun Dalet. Good. Number seven, which stuff do you discuss whether a husband can claim he sold his wife property to see if she was hiding money she took from him? That's on Duff. Nun Off. Good. Number eight, which stuff do you discuss acquiring land by paying its property tax? That's on Duff. Nun Hey. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you discuss one may not accept the pikadon from married women, from slaves, or from children? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Good. Number 10, which stuff do you discuss acquiring property by placing or removing a stone of a wall? That's on Duff. Nun Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.